This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Mac and Langley says, Yannick, please work for the Canucks. We do hope that Yannick will continue doing our hits, especially after this latest comment. This text comes in unsigned. I love Yannick's little red bucket. Another one texting in about Yannick's little red bucket and how much they loved the story from Yannick.
He kind of, it was charming at first, and I thought, okay, like, can you share the anecdote? And he's like, oh, I'm the one who took the little red. He kind of went all Walter White on us.
I was the bucket stealer when I was little, so.
I am the one who knocks.
That was Yannick. Yannick channeled
his. He turned that on us really fast. He's all, who do you think you're looking at right now? Who is it that you think you're talking to?
I am the one who knocks.
You hear a charming little anecdote about a child losing a little red bucket, and you think that of me?
Yeah.
No.
Rob and Victoria, what's going to happen at the Four Nations Cup when USA plays Sweden?
It's going to be a great game.
You know what? The TV ratings in Vancouver for that game are going to be astronomically high. That much I do know. All right. Let's get
low
to
key.
It.
Sorry, low key. Could be a gold medal game.
It could. Well, we know they're going to have the round robin game. So
yeah.
February 19th, yeah. I think it is.
But could be the championship game.
Just be so great if one somehow dusts the other one with a big hit or a dangle.
Oh, man.
Be so good.
That would be a moment.
Canucks Twitter would blow up. All right, let's get to it. The Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Your home? Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Canucks finishing up their quick back-to-back on the road, getting a point against the Utah Hockey Club. Blew a two-goal lead in the third period in that one, so tough to only come away with 1 point. And then last night, get the early lead on the Vegas Golden Knights, but unable to hold it. They lose in regulation. And so questions come again for the Vancouver Canucks and their current struggles. 3-1 they lose to Vegas. And it's not just the scoreline that's frustrating. It's, yeah, sure. I mean, Adin Hill had to make a couple of five-bell saves in the game.
He really kept the score at what it was, right? Like, the Suter one is the one you look at and like, okay, that changes the dynamic of the game completely.
Yeah, and, you know, Canucks had 12 shots in the first period. That was a great first period, especially after the slow start in Utah. You're like, okay, more of this, please. But then they had 8 shots for the rest of the game.
Say it again.
They had 8 shots for the rest of the game.
8 shots against the final division rival.
In the final 40 minutes, they generated 8 shots. In the third period, they go down 2-1, 3:44 into the third period. So you got 16 minutes and change remaining. And you're unable to generate one high-danger scoring chance in the final 16 minutes at 5-on-5. The power play also... not good. Anemic, even, if you could say. I mean, shortly after they go down 2-1, they get the power play, the high stick on Pavel Dorofeev, and the one chance they generate is an Elias Pettersson one-timer from way out that goes way wide and rims around and goes out of the zone. That was the one shot.
They are lacking conviction,
mm-hmm.
urgency, talent maybe even, because they need an injection on that power play. Like, is there a way to get 5 great players on there? Like, again, like,
is there a way to fit in your 100 point score, like one of your 200 point scorers onto the power play?
Yeah.
How to fit them both onto the power play? And that's why I get where the conversation has gone. Okay. Like, people are having their jokes and their fun with the Miller-Pettersson thing, which ultimately I do feel has been overblown this week with how much attention it has gotten. But why has it gotten a ton of attention? It's because they've been separated on the top power play unit.
But also they're not generating. Like, in general, they're just not generating. Like, both guys are struggling.
Both are struggling. You had, so on net, there were zero shots from JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, all strengths. JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, and Jake DeBrusk. Your four highest paid forwards in the lineup, not one of them in a big game against the Pacific Division leaders could generate a shot on net. Pettersson had four shot attempts. None of them got on net.
It's so bad. Like that.
But at least he had four shot attempts.
Yeah.
That's something. Besser had one shot attempt on the night. I mean, that is as punchless as you could possibly be for the top end of the lineup. It's nice to see Kiefer Sherwood and Teddy Bluger adding some secondary scoring, but you need your primary scoring to be there. That's when secondary scoring really helps things out, is when the primary scoring is already there. And that hasn't been there for the Vancouver Canucks.
I mentioned it earlier with Yannick, right? Like, since Brock's come back, that's, you know, a 13-game sample. 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. Hugh Suter leads the way with 4 goals. Kiefer Sherwood, all 3 came in one game.
Yep.
He's second. Brock Besser's got 2. Jake DeBrusk has 2. Dakota Joshua has 2. Teddy Bluger, Max Sasson, Danton Heinen, Atu Ratu.
Yep.
So, names I didn't say, Elias Pettersson, Connor Garland, JT Miller, albeit 5 games, Nils Höglander. Right? Like,
so, basically, outside of Nils, like, all the guys getting the most ice time.
Yeah, and Nils Höglander's played in 12 of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, even in limited minutes, and we had a caller last night in the postgame show, it's like, oh, you got to get Höglander in the top 6. He's not even performing in the bottom 6.
Yeah.
Like, Danton Heinen's had struggles. He went 10 games pointless. He's got points in 4 of the last 5 games.
Yeah. He's actually been on the score sheet recently. It's been since November 2nd.
Yeah.
You know?
He's.
I was a whole month younger the last time. A whole 2 months younger the last time Nils Höglander actually scored a goal.
A whole moon has passed, as they would say in days of yore.
It's so wild how anemic the Canucks offense has become. And fingers are pointing at Rick Tocchet. In my mentions, you know, I put out the question for the mailbag. We're going to get to some of those a little bit later on. The tweet that I put out earlier today about how the coaching staff has got to figure out a way to get Miller and Pettersson going. Yeah, some of it is on the coaching staff, but most of it is still on those players. You can talk about how Tocchet is maybe overcoaching, how his system is too defensive and he's taken the offense out of their game. I've never seen an NHL coach want less offense from his star players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, most of the time, what a coach will give a green light to his star players, right? Like, you see a play out there, I want you to make it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Miller, if it's Pettersson, Besser, like, those guys are going to have green lights from Rick Tocchet because he knows their skill can take over and can help them win games. You know, he doesn't like necessarily want to see it all the time from Nils Höglander, or, you know, if he puts a guy like PDG in the lineup, it's not because he wants him to go out there and try and dangle guys at the blue line or whatever else,
right? There's a job to do.
There's a job for those guys to do. So this is why, like, you can talk about systems all you want, but yeah, you got to play to your system, but guys got to go out there and make plays. And Pettersson, Miller, these guys haven't been out there making plays enough lately for the Vancouver Canucks.
So I guess the conversation then would be is, are they in positions? Like, are they in, and by positions, I mean like on the ice. Like, do we see them in frequent enough threatening positions? Or is it a lot of work off the wall where, mm-hmm. like, even if you win the battle, which is difficult on its own, right, 50-50 proposition, then is there another body coming to you, and do you have to relegate yourself to just a back to the point?
Yeah.
Like, is that the coaching point of, we get a lot of like, oh, just another dump and chase night all over again, and you have to work so hard to peel it off the wall. And I think there's a difference of like working below the hashes and constantly wanting to dump it in.
Yeah.
And they seem to want to do both all of the time, and like that's where the difficulty is.
So I would say, what did it look like in the Florida game and the Colorado game? Those are the two best recent mm-hmm. examples of how this team played. They played on the front foot.
Yeah.
They defended up ice. They forechecked incredibly well, kept the puck in the offensive zone for the most part, did a lot of the same things that they did last year. Great at offensive zone time, maybe didn't generate a ton of shots because it's always, they're always looking for more quality than they are quantity. The coach even said it post-game a couple of weeks ago, like, I don't care how many shots on net we have. All I care about is chances. Mm-hmm. He's telling you how he wants his team to play, whether or not you want to hear it. So, yeah, we can be frustrated at the lack of shots, and I do think that there's a point where, yeah, you have to sacrifice quality for some level of volume, especially if you're really struggling to find that extra bit of quality against a really good team like the Vegas Golden Knights, for example, last night. But ultimately, like, we know what this team looks like when it's at its best. I didn't see anybody complaining after the Florida game or the Colorado game. This is on the players to execute better. They just haven't done that enough lately. The consistency of execution hasn't been there from the group and especially from the top six.
And when there's a lack of chances, like those ones that don't get buried that are very quality, like the Suter one, like the Quinn Hughes one, because that was a well-worked play.
Yeah.
You know, Hughes going to Heinen across to Sherwood, back down to Hughes as he's streaking towards the net. And Aiden Hill up to the task on both of them. But, like, those are the only two other plays that we're talking about that felt marginally close to a goal. Like, Suter had a high slot shot, obviously the Pettersson one-timer on the power play. But by and large, like, we're not seeing just even, like, mid-danger ones that might become more threatening. But those three that really were there to be had, like, that's the execution on top of all the other ones that don't materialize into better chances. Like, those three, if right now they're in this struggle, right? Because even amidst struggles, you're still going to find a couple of chances here and there.
Yeah.
Like, those ones have to go in. As great of a play as by Aiden Hill and that diving glove save, and I didn't think Suter did, like, a terrible job of getting that shot off quickly, but, like, the advantage is overwhelmingly in his favor to score that. I don't know what the XG on that shot was. I'd imagine it's like 0.8 or something like that.
It should have been, yeah.
You got to bury those chances in that moment.
Yeah, you'd say the same thing for some of the chances that Vegas had, right? That Lankinen save in the third period. But that's the name of the game, right? The problem is not enough of these chances are landing on the sticks of the guys that have the ability to bury those at a high rate. Sats mentioned it yesterday on the show. This is the lowest shots per 60 both Pettersson and Miller have had in their entire careers. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that Rick Tocchet went from coaching this. Okay, sure, they ran on a PDO binge for the first 40-plus games of last season, but they were one of the best, most efficient offenses in the league a year ago.
One of the ways to ward off regression, right? Because you know the percentage is going to come down. But what's the output, right? Yeah. Can you still get a certain level of goals? One of the ways to do it is volume.
Yeah.
Can you increase the volume as that number comes down and you still get 200 and whatever goals? That's not volume.
No.
That is the exact opposite.
So if there is one thing that I would critique the coach about, it is, like, have you coached into the team this idea of quality over quantity to a point that has become somewhat problematic? And I can't believe I'm saying that because I've always been a quality over quantity guy, but there are nights where there doesn't seem to be an ability to adjust from that game plan. Like, hey, this isn't working.
Right.
How do we find out a different way to generate offense?
Just as a short-term measure, right? Because we talk about, like, shake things up and Sherwood goes to the top line, but everyone's like following the same game script. I honestly like the idea. Just become a bit more proactive and a bit more adventurous, I would say, and just start launching the puck a bit more often.
Yeah.
Just to change the feel of what this is right now.
It's become a little bit problematic with how the offense has dried up as much as it has. Ultimately, you've got to figure out how to get more out of Pettersson and Miller. Like, there's really no other discussion here. And you can say, hey, the coaching staff hasn't come up with enough solutions with Hronek out of the lineup. I'm not sure what they're supposed to do in the situation. Hughes and Myers, like, yeah, Hughes' numbers and underlying metrics have come down quite a bit since Hronek has left the lineup. They're not as dynamic as they were when Hronek and Hughes were together on the ice. That is why, you know, I don't think the reports of the Canucks being more aggressive to acquire a top four defenseman, I think it's obvious why that was happening. They're looking at this sample size without Filip Hronek, and they're saying it's pretty obvious where our issue is right now. And some of this is, it's very much Pettersson and Miller. Yes, they need to bring their game up to a certain level, but if you're not being able to get your defensemen to get the forwards in stride, generate speed through the neutral zone, have that beautiful build-up feel that we've seen in spurts, in flashes of games like Florida, like Colorado, the only way to do that is get more talent on the back end. And that's why I think they became more aggressive this week. That sample size without Filip Hronek is growing, and they're saying, yeah, okay, this is an obvious problem for us right now.
There's a nice little conversation we can put to bed now as well, right? All the talks of, let's put up Hughes Hronek. I think you see the effectiveness of how good they can be.
Yeah.
And the necessary element of, like, if, as Quinn Hughes has been driving the bus throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
Having the guy who can also be kind of the navigator for them and make sure they're always ticking along.
More good players on the ice at the same time, probably a good thing.
Happens to be good.
Yeah, might also be a solution for the power play as well. Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar. Canucks and Senators tomorrow night. It's the Canucks Central Roundup. So, yes, the Canucks returning home tomorrow. They will have their second matchup with the Sens so far this season. They played the Sens already this year, yeah? So, yes, getting to play the Senators tomorrow. Sens have won 5 in a row. So Travis Green here on his birthday today. So, you know, he'll be jacked up for tomorrow night's game back in Vancouver. 5 in a row they have won. And, you know, they're one of those teams, like, when are the Senators going to figure it out? Have they started to do that? I don't think it's a coincidence they've started to get some more saves from Linus Ullmark. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a layup tomorrow against a Senators team who's starting to get red hot here, Bick.
I would say their schedule has maybe also been beneficial as well. They've played their wins are Calgary, San Jose, Nashville, Anaheim. Now, Carolina won, which was nice. Penguins, Kraken, yeah. Calgary. Right? So it's not the who's who of the NHL, but 9-2-1 in that stretch. So, again, certainly turn it around. But the Ullmark factor is the one, right? Like, goalies can be independent of their success as well. And the fact that he's turned it around and starting to garner some of that acclaim of why it was worth going out and to go get him, it's not going to be easy. And at least, at the very least, it's a team with good vibes right now, right? Yeah. If they're winning games, they certainly believe they're going to give you a tough game tomorrow in Vancouver.
Roster freeze in place until December the 27th. That went into play at midnight this morning. So Canucks weren't able to get a deal done before the deadline, but I'm sure they were putting in work and maybe something could develop once the roster freeze lifts on December the 27th as things continue to develop. I'm sure Nils Höglander's camp not the happiest right now with a healthy scratch last night. There's obviously a few balls in the air right now for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get to the mailbag coming up as your questions come for us next on Canuck Central.
I am the one who
takes my red bucket.